are listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. This is not Alan. Really? It's Dr. Michelle. I'm the host of On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, as you know, here on LA Talk Radio, every Friday at 11 in the morning. Alan and also his co-host, Dr. Melody, have asked me to sit in today to help them out, and great to be here for you all. So welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. Again, this is Dr. Michelle, and the show is on, as you know, every Monday from 11 to noon Pacific Standard Time. Show's going to bring you some special guests always, and we do have a wonderful guest today who's going to inspire and educate and entertain you while bringing answers and options to raising children today, especially in our constantly changing future. Whew. And by the way, if you already know about the show, you know that Answers for the Family will address issues like locating your runaway teen. Alan and Melody talk about family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addictions. And as I'm sure many of you expected to hear Alan's voice, like I said, let's think about the reality of what Alan does when he's not on the air. He's a licensed private investigator. He's also a crisis interventionist. And what happens is he gets calls and has to respond quickly. So that's exactly what he's doing today. Whether he's locating a runaway, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child, he's on his job. So I just spoke to him, and prior to the World Association of Detectives Conference in Boston, he's going to be attending that. He's also been asked to meet with a client, which is a very serious situation right now. They're believing that their runaway daughter may now be involved with human traffickers. So this is some very serious stuff that Alan jumps on in his business. He's always out there to help young people and their families as well. And, of course, we can all wish him swift success in rescuing this child. So here I am, and it's Dr. Michelle again. I have a great guest. His name is Andy Anderson. Andy, hello. Nice to have you there.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. It's really great to be on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, this is an amazing interview because I was just reading your bio before the show here, you know, and you are an MRA, which is an amazing, it's a Master's of Rehabilitation Administration specialist.
Correct.
Yeah, and Andy is, in case you don't know, guys, he's a well-known and very well-respected professional in the therapeutic schools and program industry. As a matter of fact, you have 38 years of experience working with special needs children and adolescents and young adults. That's an amazing career you have. What a wonderful
one. Thank you.
What a wonderful
thing. I've spent
most
of my life doing it, it seems like, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you do. Well, you know what you do. You know what you're doing. By the way, Andy Anderson is a former executive director of the National Association of Therapeutic Schools and Programs. And, by the way, you began Andy Anderson Consulting Incorporated and then the Independent Small Programs Alliance. That was about 7.5 years ago. And,
yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Michelle, what I did was when I left NADSAP, I decided that I wanted to be my own boss. And so mm-hmm. I started a consulting business, Andy Anderson Consulting Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And I worked with various clients and people I've known for many, many years. And one of the things I saw in the industry was I saw that some of the large corporations and conglomerates and people really were hard to compete against. The small programs schools had a hard time trying to compete. So I came up with the idea of forming an alliance of programs who would co-op, work together, collaborate, and pool their resources and energies and, you know, compete with the big boys. And that's what we've been able to do.
Wow, that's an amazing. You really put it together. So is that pretty much the mission of ISPA, as you call it? We're talking ISPA. We're saying the Independent Small Programs Alliance is what we're talking about, folks. So that's pretty much to build and maintain that alliance of the independent program.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
it. You know, service and education, treatment and therapy. We have some vocational aspects as well, but the idea is to bring people together. I think it started back in the airlines probably before
sure.
anybody else did it. And
wow.
It's worked really, really well. Well,
what a
really,
great
really
idea.
Well.
Oh, that's neat. You know, Andy, being a psychologist, I always like to find out what inspires people to do what they do. Is there anything earlier in your life that really inspired you to go forward with the ISPA, and anything that happened to you or situations you experienced where you said, wow, this is really something that I can do to contribute to the help kids and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Dr. Michelle. When I was young, a young child, you know, my life wasn't the easiest, let's just put it
mm-hmm.
that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I struggled in some areas and things. And, you know, when you find a way, and there was an individual who came along and helped me, a man who was 13, 14 years older than me, sort of
wow.
took me under his wing and showed me the way in life, and
oh.
still my best friend to this day. And that was great. And
mm-hmm.
another thing is there were two members of my family that were developmentally delayed, developmentally disabled, and so I grew up with individuals who were different, who had problems,
yeah.
differences, or whatever you like to call them. And I think that inspired me. Yeah, I found that I could relate to them. I could get along with them well. I could
mm-hmm.
get them to control themselves maybe a little better than most people could and
sure.
enjoy their life. And so that's why I said that's what I want to do.
What a wonderful experience for you, you know, to have such compassion and understanding. You know, a lot of younger people are not exposed to that in their lives. And,
exactly.
you know, they don't know what to expect or, you know, how to help people, you know, with certain disabilities. So
sure.
good for you, man. That's great. That is really amazing. By the way, this is Dr. Michelle. This is not Alan Cardoza on the air today. I'm hosting Answers for the Family for Alan and his co-host, Dr. Melody Fox. And we're talking about a wonderful company and also the gentleman who is the founder of it, Andy Anderson. It's called ISPA, and it's the Independent Small Programs Alliance. And we're talking about, how many people are being affected by this. Andy, what is the scope of programs in the ISPA?
We have 17 what I call member programs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are individuals that are within the alliance, and we I don't allow anyone just to join. You can't just call me up and say, hey, I want to join today, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of handpick people I know, people sort of pick me as well, because they have people that have the same philosophical ideas and goals
yeah.
that I do. And that is that, you know, people are in business to make money, many of them. That's great. That's what America is all about. But at the same time, we all agree and adhere to the fact that making sure that families are taken care of first
mm-hmm.
before we really start scrutinizing the bottom line is what we're going to do. And we feel like if we do that, the bottom line will take care of itself.
Oh, wow.
So we have 17 members. They're in 10 states, and
mm-hmm.
It's growing. I'm talking to people right now about joining.
Mm-hmm.
And probably maybe get it up to 20 members or so, and then we might want to back off a little bit. Because we're,
yeah.
after all, with the Independent Small Programs Alliance.
Wow. But really, I mean, you're handling a lot of situations and different aspects of it as well. Are there any typical cases who you work with or that you work with? You talk about young adult transition programs and boarding schools, and you have day schools, residential treatment centers. Is there a general type of kind of like a problem or issues going on with a general population that you see, or is it all sorts of problems?
Well, our members cover a wide spectrum. That's one of the things that we've tried to do is to try to have a continuum that can deal with almost any situation. We're serving right now individuals
mm-hmm.
from the ages of 8 to 30, which is a very broad spectrum. 8 years old is very, very young to be in a program, but there are some individuals that need to be in specialized programs at that age.
Sure.
And people up to 30, a lot of transitional individuals, emerging adults, whatever, they are not able to you know, capture the things they needed to capture. And so there's an extension on that maturation process for them. So we're serving individuals that have, you know, the typical things that you deal with, everything from, you know, anxiety, bipolar, personality disorders, eating disorders, ADHD, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
You pull off Asperger's. We're on the full spectrum when it comes to Asperger's and autism.
Wow.
And all kind of sexual behavioral issues, developmental delays, injuries. Mm-hmm. We even have one group that specializes in neuro rehab and a brain injury, closed brain injury, and all that stuff.
Oh, wow. What a wonderful
service. Also, internet addiction.
Have.
That's one I wanted to bring up and not forget is internet addiction.
Oh,
we have a group in Washington, Restart, that is a new member that are sort of the pioneers in the whole idea of the internet gaming and internet addiction, and it's a fabulous program, very much needed.
Oh, that's great. You know, I don't think a lot of people think of that, you know, they're working with, you know, a younger population, a lot of people think about addiction, you know, substance abuse addiction, any kind of substance abuse, but I mean, this is a really important program as well. I mean, that's a biggie now
absolutely.
Going on.
I mean, you know, there are people that care kids and adults that are sitting in front of, you know, the screens of their games and porn addiction, et cetera.
Yeah.
They're sitting in front of screens nonstop. That's all they do. They lock themselves in their room, and they don't want to come out. And they just
exactly.
That's their world. That's their world. And so, you know, what an important service. And we're very proud to have someone who's the real pioneers in that.
Oh, that's cool, Andy. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to my sister about her nephew and how he and his 14-year-old friends, how they have to constantly rework the computer because they're so intelligent and they're trying to, you know, keep them blocked from certain websites, gaming sites and things like that. But it's a real serious problem right now, you know, in society.
It really is. It's going to grow as well.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're listening to Answers for the Family. Of course, Alan Cardoza and his co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, are not here today. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I'm, of course, the host of On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on Fridays here on LA Talk Radio. But I'm just filling in for Alan and Dr. Melody. They both had to get to work today. You know, many people think it's a holiday here, but you know, we all work. We all do this thing. This is not a lot of times take time off. This is the kind of industry where you have to take care of runaway teens, family crisis intervention. And by the way, I just wanted to mention that right now Alan is on a case. So he's a private investigator and crisis interventionist, and he's as always ready to run. So, you know, he's trying to attend a conference in Boston, and also he's meeting with a client who, you know, thinks the runaway daughter may now be involved with human traffickers. So there's always, you know, a real need for Alan's help. So here we are today, and my guest is Andy Anderson, MRA, and that, of course, is a master's in rehabilitation and administration. He's a well-known and very well-respected professional in the therapeutic schools and program industry. He's been doing it for almost 40 years, right, Andy? That's
getting close.
That's
It'll be there before long. I don't know how I got this old that fast, I think.
Isn't it? Time flies when you're working hard, huh?
Yes,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
that's the way, you know, that's the way it usually goes, especially when you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about, this is worldwide. I mean, you, I know, open your services to families in Europe and Asia. So how can families in even those countries, New Zealand, Australia, make use of ISPA members?
Well, you know, the easy way to do it is to make contact with us. And working with Alan and some other people and some of our members, you know, there are not as many programs or opportunities, and I don't believe quite the quality that we have in our country. We're very fortunate. In a group like ISPA, we have 17 fantastic programs who, you know, are accredited and you know, licensed and all those things they need to be.
Yeah.
To make sure it's a good, safe place and with qualified people. And, you know, people are looking all over the world. They're looking for places for their kids, and there's not many opportunities. So they go to people like Alan and, you know, other lawyers and people in Europe and Asia or wherever, and they're looking for program placement. So one of the things that we are very ready to provide and help with and do is, you know, take calls. You know, we have a website.
Right.
It's www.ispaac.com. Mm-hmm. And you know, all of our members are listed there. They have a profile that shows what they do and how they do it and how you can contact them, direct link to their websites and those kind of things.
Cool.
People you can talk to directly and find out what's going on. And it's been a big expansion into the international market. One of the partners that we work with is we work with educational consultants, but one group we work with closely is the Independent Educational Consultants Association, and that's a group of professionals who work with parents to find appropriate schools and programs for their special needs children and young adults, and we work very closely with them. They sort of quarterback for the parents along with us and get them in the correct program with sort of with our help. So it's really good. They provide a very good service. They do a very good job. It's a really, really good group of professionals. So, we can help them if they need to be turned into an ed consultant. We don't refer them to one or two or whatever. It's not the way it is. Send them to the website. Let them find someone in their area or wherever they think they'd like to be, whether it's Boston or San Francisco or wherever it might be, Denver. And
that's a great idea.
Always some around that are really excellent. So, there's a lot of need out there, and we're trying to meet some of
it. There sure is. Well, Andy, looks like Alan has a lot of people who write him, instant message him here at the studio, and they have questions. So can I shoot you out some questions here, and maybe you can help out some of the listeners? Okay. This looks like it's from Steve. There's no location, but... the IM says, hey, Alan, but it's Dr. Michelle here, of course, with Andy Anderson, but that's fine, Steve. We love it. It's nice to have you out there. Last year, he said, my sister began showing signs of depression. As much as she loves her youngest daughter, who is 9, she's autistic. My sister is crumbling from this pressure of her care. By the way, she owns a small business and has 2 other children in their teens. I'm hoping to refer some options, possibly talking to a few programs that deal with autistic children. What would you suggest, Andy?
Well, you know, there's some excellent opportunities. We have several members of our group that work with, you know, the autism spectrum, they call it, of young people and young adults and older adults. But as I sit here now in one location at my home, my wife and I have been group home parents for 32 years, and with severely disabled young people, and we've had a number of autistic kids in our group home, and it's a real specialty. And so, Steve, what I can tell you is this: start out looking at the Autism Society. There's a website. If you'll plug in the Autism Society, you'll come up with a number of links. You can go on ispaac.com. That's 3 A's in the middle. And you can come up with a number of programs that we have that would certainly be able to help you, assist you, speak with you, get you in the right direction. If money becomes an issue, which it is for many people, and some of these programs are very expensive, there are some locations and places and people and associations that work to help people, you know, gain scholarships and those kinds of things. So
right.
That's the perfect place for Steve to start, though, is there. And he can certainly call me directly. My direct line is 727-512-9144, and that's 365 days a year, 24/7. You can get a hold of me. So,
that's great.
If I can help you, I will. You just need to call me, and I'll try.
That's super. I mean, that's really helping. That's really helping them, you know, out. And by the way, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Answers for the Family. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. I'm the host of Fridays on the Couch with Dr. Michelle. And I'm, you know, of course, filling in for Alan and also Dr. Melody Fox. They have a work today. You know, Alan's on a case. He's in Boston as well, going to the Association of Detectives Conference. And Dr. Melody is working as well. So it was my honor to it was my honor to help them with this show today. And by the way, my guest is Andy Anderson. He's an MRA. He's a Master of Rehabilitation Administration, and he's a well-known, very respected professional in the therapeutic schools and program industry. If you have any questions or if you'd like to call in live here on the show, you can do so. And that number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And what we'd love to do is answer any questions you may have. We just took an email from Steve. And if you have any questions, too, you can also email us directly, or I am here on the show on LA Talk Radio. And or you can just pull up my email address, which is docmichelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. That's docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And that'd be great to hear from you guys out there if you have any questions or comments. So let's keep on moving. And, man, I can't believe you've been doing this for so long. It's just amazing.
Sometimes I can't either, Dr. Michelle.
It's cool. Let's talk about the Student Exchange Visitor Program. Can you describe what is SEVP, as the acronym says? Yeah.
SEVP is, well, it's one of the many acronyms. First off, you've got SEVIS, which is, SEVIS was actually set up, it came out as a trial. There was a trial run in 1999, I think, of a way to monitor, you know, individuals coming into the U.S. from foreign countries that wanted to go to school or college or, you know, special schools or whatever. And, of course, what brought it all about coming to real fruition was 9/11, when the individuals were involved in, you know, training schools, vocational, air flight schools, those kinds of things. And I believe it was January the 1st, maybe, of 2003 that it actually became law and the Department of Homeland Security. SEVP stands for Student Exchange Visitor Program. SEVP is it's currently working to develop the next generation of what is now called SEVIS. And SEVIS, for, you know, is basically it's about a school that's certified by the U.S. government to accept foreign students. That's really what it means. You have to go through an approval process. A lot of forms, a lot of things you do, jump through hoops, which I think is very good and excellent, pay some fees and things like that, and you're checked out and make sure that everything's legit. And I believe in the F approval you can do, that's full academic, college, private school, that kind of thing. What they call the M1 program, that would be a non-academic vocational type of, you know, program or school.
Oh, that's great.
So that's what
that
it is.
Cool. Yeah. What a extensive, great program, you know, that is.
It really is, and it's very much needed. It's very much needed. We have about eight right now of our schools that are SEVIS approved. A number of them are in the process of completing it, and some have entered the process of it because there is a big move to the, like I said, to the international market because so many people needing help. So ISPA is gearing up to get as many of our people definitely on board so we can serve people as quickly as possible.
You're a good guy, Andy.
Thank you.
By the way, in case you just tuned in here, this is Dr. Michelle, the host of On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. I'm filling in for Alan Cardoza and his co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, on Answers for the Family this morning. Alan is on a case. He's working with a client, and he's also attending the World Association of Detectives Conference in Boston. I know Dr. Fox is working as well, as you know they are. So I'm pleased to be here and featuring the guest, Andy Anderson. He's a Master's of Rehabilitation Administration, very well-respected professional in the therapeutic schools and program industry. He's been doing it for almost 40 years, man. That's amazing. So if you would like to, you know, call in, we'd love to hear from you, 323-203-0815, or you can IM us directly here on the website on Answers to the Family, or you can hook up to my website or my email as well. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, on AOL, at AOL. We have another question for you. So great. Shall we go ahead and pull this one up?
Sure.
Here we go, Andy. It says, Dear Mr. Anderson. Sounds like The Matrix, doesn't it? Mr.
Yeah, it
Anderson.
Does. It really does.
We live in an area of northeast Missouri that has very poor educational resources for our teen with learning disabilities. Aaron has minor brain damage from a biking accident he had at age 12. We've been attempting for the last 2 years to homeschool Aaron, but this is not working well. Are there any programs close to our area within the surrounding states that you recommend we contact?
I'll tell you what I'd suggest that you contact. They're not one of our members, and trust me, we have great members. There are a lot of good programs out there, and I am friends with most of the individuals that run, particularly small programs, and a lot of people in the large ones as well.
Yeah.
If you would go on the Internet for Aaron and look up a program called CALO, C-A-L-O, you can go on the NATSAP site. It's probably the easiest way, N-A-T-S-A-P. And it will pull up, you can search programs there, and there's about 100 and, I don't know, when I left, I think there was 150 or 60, but it must be that many or more now. And you can search by state, you can search by condition, you can search by age and sex, and it will pull up programs with descriptions on it, so you can try to locate something that's new to you. But I know the CALO people, I respect them deeply, and they do a lot of good work. They use Labradors and dogs. They use dogs a lot in working with people. And whether that be exactly right for whatever the brain condition or whatever it might be, I'm not sure. But they certainly would help you. They're great people. They would certainly send you in the right direction. So that's what I would suggest.
Great idea. And there was no name on there, but thank you so much for emailing us.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful
good
question.
Good luck with Aaron.
Oh, man, you got that right. Bless his heart. Not easy. Not easy.
And if you can't find anything, you need to call me, like I said, and I will help you find something. I promise you. Either go to
and
my
what
website
is that number again, Andy?
That number again is 727-512-9144. You can call me. That's my personal cell phone, my work cell phone. I've got it with me all the time. You call me, and if I can't answer the phone right away, I'll get back with you, and we'll figure something out. I'll try to find something for Aaron.
Super. How sweet of you, Andy. And that email address, it's the ISPAAC as well. Is that the best place?
It's a little different. It's www.ispaaac.com is the website, and I think you can find my email. My email address is ALANDERSON, so that's ALANDERSON, 1537 at earthlink.net.
Right. Right.
Feel free to see me.
Oh, that's neat. You know, Andy, we were talking about families in Europe and Asia and all over actually making use of the ISPA. What do your members have to do to make sure that they comply with U.S. Department of Homeland Security? You know, I was thinking about that. There's a lot of regulations. The Department of State and Immigration rules. So is that
the government is,
Yeah,
we're from the government. We're here to help you. You know, no, I'm just kidding.
Right.
You know, it's a good process. They fill out these I-20 forms and all, and it's complex. But the good thing with us is that, and trust me, I've got members that are much, much greater experts at it than I am. I don't claim to be one. One of our groups, the Chamberlain International School, which is in Middleborough, Massachusetts, which has been around for many, many years, well-respected school, they were involved since 2003. I mean, it was actually started formally January 1st, 2003, and they became service approved in 2003. They also have been, the government has called on them as experts to help them work out the process of what needs to be added, what might be deleted, what's the best way to go about things to help schools. That's how respected they are, what a good job they've done. So it's a matter of walking through the paperwork. It's like anything. It's like following the maze. You just got to cross the T's and dot the I's. And it's an internet system, and you can go on and you can get all the required information. You just have to make sure you fill out correctly. And what our members do for one another, if we have someone who's relatively new to it, some of the other members in that alliance, of course, collaborate with them and help, give them the help they need to make sure they complete things quickly and correctly.
That's so neat. That's really neat. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle. I'm filling in for Alan and, of course, Dr. Melody Fox today on Answers for the Family. They're out of town working, and so it's my pleasure to be here, you know, hosting the program. My special guest today is Andy Anderson. He's a master's of rehabilitation administration. He has so many programs that he's created. He's been working in this particular industry for, my goodness, almost 40 years. High-quality care, working with special needs children, adolescents, young adults in the therapeutic schools and program industry. So, you know, if you have any questions or comments for Andy, my special guest, you can give him a call at his phone number that he gave you a little bit earlier, and that's the 727-512-9144 number.
That's correct.
Of course, we're here to help as well on Answers for the Family. I know that's exactly what Alan would say, and Dr. Melody, if, you know, they were sitting here, they'd say, please, you know, give Andy Anderson a call because he's really hooked up. He knows what he's doing. We talked a little bit earlier about some of the most common diagnoses and problems that your members face. Can you just sort of, you know, talk about these just a little bit more? You know, we're looking at severe behavioral problems, the depression with the young folks.
Right, right.
Anxiety, what else? We've got the bipolar.
Yeah, the bipolar, you know, as you all know, the psychologist, a reputable and very well-known psychologist, that bipolar is being diagnosed tremendously, it seems like, in the last few years.
Sure.
People have finally gotten a handle on what it is.
Sure.
Which fits with personality disorders, et cetera. Eating disorders is a big thing.
Yes.
We have one group in Massachusetts, and I'll try to mention each one of the names and the
sure.
state they're in, if I could,
neat.
Quickly in a few minutes. That would help people sort of hear where we are and hear the names. It always helps. But,
cool.
You know, the one in Massachusetts, in Arlington, it works with girls that have been sexually exploited and,
mm-hmm.
and human trafficked and, you know, you name it. It's unbelievable the things that happen to kids today.
Yeah.
These people are fantastic.
Horrible.
They do a great job with them. They put their lives back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Get them in. They work closely with Harvard, believe it or not. And
wow.
these girls send them on the way. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I call their names off, I'll mention a little bit about what they do. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the reactive attachment disorder is something that
yeah.
been around for a while or noted for quite a while, as you know. But we see a lot of reactive attachment kids, and particularly in kids that are adopted. And particularly,
can
I think, European kids and kids from Asia that
yeah.
have been adopted, you know, who may have been laying in a crib somewhere in a
yes.
in an orphanage,
yes.
and they don't wonder, well, they never had any attachment to anybody. And
yeah.
making that attachment is very, very, very difficult. So,
oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a specialty.
Yeah.
Prader-Willi is quite a rare problem in the mm-hmm. world. People don't think about it being in the world, but it doesn't know any ethnicity or race,
right.
about one in every 12 to 15,000 births, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Gallant at Latham Centers is my expert on that, but she and Ann McManus there. But they do a great job. They're the pioneers, pretty much, in Prader-Willi, and looking to try to help people around the world because we know we have the same incidence of it around the world that we have in the
mm-hmm.
United States. And there's not
yeah.
much going on in the United States except for them and a few other people that are doing a really good job. And
mm-hmm.
they do a lot of research, tons of
mm-hmm.
research. And so they hope to be able to reach out and help a lot more people. It's a very difficult. I have worked with some individuals with Prader-Willi, and it's very difficult.
Can you explain to listeners a little bit more what that is?
Yeah, I sure can.
Yeah.
You know, I worked with a couple. I don't think I ever worked with a young man. Maybe I did,
mm-hmm.
but. With Prader-Willi, you know, I think what you would see, at birth,
mm-hmm.
an infant that would be somewhat flaccid and, you know,
mm-hmm.
muscle control both in the babies and you know, as the kids grow up. They have poor
yeah.
muscle control and tone. You know, mm-hmm. they're usually developmentally delayed.
Sure.
You know, they have a number of not only physical but mental problems.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like I said, it's one in 12 to 15,000 births, which is
right.
fairly rare, although some people might say that's not rare.
Sure.
But obesity is big. I know, I've known of people who've had to chain their refrigerator door shut to keep their young people from getting in. They would eat pretty much anything in sight. Usually their sex glands are either not producing at all or producing little hormones. So it's a multifaceted kind of a problem that requires a combination of the family, you know, the right medical people and the right program like Latham working together to try to figure out in conjunction with one another about what to do. But they have success.
Bless your heart. There you go. Yes. Bless your heart that you're out there and you're looking for, you know, resources for these families, for these children.
Absolutely.
You know, Andy, it's interesting sometimes when I work with families who have children with behavioral problems, you know, severe problems. A lot of times, you know, they come from so-called, you know, I mean, what's normal? Nobody's normal. No family's normal.
I have a T-shirt from House that says, normal is not normal.
There you go. That's right. Good one, Andy. I like that.
Normal is not normal.
You know, it's true. But a lot of families, you know, who come to me, they say, I feel so guilty. Oh, my goodness, I feel so guilty because I knew that, you know, Grandpa had bipolar disorder, and he used to, you know, this is before they had, I think all they had probably was lithium back then, but, I mean, you know, now they have a lot better mood disorder meds that they give folks. But, you know, they feel guilty about, you know, the autism spectrum or, you know, some of the eating or the OCD or the ADHD, what did I do or what could I have done or... You know, a lot of times we don't know as researchers, as psychologists, you know, especially, we don't know what initially caused certain things. We do know that certain, you know, behavioral disorders are inherited, and it's not necessarily from the environment. I mean, it's just not.
Right.
And who knows, you know, sometimes what the triggers are neurologically, you know, they're not producing enough whatever dopamine or serotonin norepinephrine or whatever, but these, you know, it's just like having any other, it's like having, say, diabetes. It's just, you know,
chemically
something's missing, medically something's missing, and we need to work with that. Only the problem is, it's also mental, and we can't see it. We can't put it under, you know, an MRI, per se, most of the
time. That's exactly right. It's more difficult because of that.
You know, it really is. So if you were to talk to some of the families out there who would come to you and use your resources, who had, say, children, you know, with certain anxiety, depression, bipolar, eating disorders, you know, certain disorders that they had to deal with, what would you say to these parents when they say, oh, my God, what could I have done better?
Well, I think the first thing that parents need to do is I think most parents, myself, everyone, would probably be initially in denial of most anything with their kids because they tend to think, well, at some stage they're going through or whatever. It's a developmental aspect, you know, so I don't need to worry about that.
Yep.
The main thing is when you or someone else near you, who may even be seeing it more clearly than you, a friend or a neighbor or someone tells you something, you know, that's the time to go see, you know, Dr. Michelle or someone and say, okay, we got something going on here. Let's figure out what it is. You know, guilt is the monster that creeps in everybody's home and makes things probably twice as bad as they have to be, is the way I look at it. It's very easy to be guilty. We all tend to feel guilt. I feel it. You feel it. We all feel a certain way.
Sure.
The main thing is to try to put it as far out of the way as you can and get down to the systems of what's going on and figure out, you know, be methodical, figure out what's going on, and come up with a plan. When you've got a plan, you can always do a better job. Realize that, you know, there's no perfect parent. There's no perfect child. And what you have to do is you have to realize that that's the case and try not to blame. It's very easy to blame and create shame and all those kind of things, as you all know as a psychologist. But people who are mature and can maintain control of themselves need to realize that, hey, you know, I'm doing everything I can for my child. I did the very best that I could. If a person gave 100% of whatever they had was 100%, they've done everything they could, and it's a lot better than probably some other people were able to do, and that's the way I look at it, I think. So get some help. Don't wait too long. little kid gets in some serious trouble with the law or something like that, and that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
I used to see that a lot. I used to work with juveniles years ago, and I would see that, you know. And then there was a period of time where a kid had to get in trouble with the law before they could even get any help, which was kind of insane as far as I was concerned, particularly in the state of Florida. But, parents beat themselves up too much. You know, I've heard the expression, some kids, you know, succeed in spite of their parents. Well, you can say that if you want to, but, you know, it's a combination of things going on at home. It's the child, a certain amount of the child, a certain amount of the parents. We overreact. We don't follow through on things. That's probably one of the biggest ones, I think, is following through. You don't set parameters and boundaries. Kids want boundaries and parameters.
Yes.
But if you set them, you have to maintain them, or you're better off not to even set them. So, because once they found it, they can knock the fence down. They just knock the fence down every time, you know. So, you know, that's the best advice I can give. I hope that helps somebody out there. It's helped me over the years to try to come to that understanding.
Yeah.
My wife has probably helped me more than anybody. She's one of the most patient people in the world dealing with kids. I hope that helps someone.
Yeah, exactly. That is lovely. That's so lovely of you. We have another instant message email. Shall I read it? All righty.
Absolutely.
This comes from Sarah, and it's very interesting. She said, Andy, my 17-year-old daughter had a child out of wedlock, and she was using drugs and alcohol while she was pregnant. The child is now 4 years old, has ADD and slight autism. Her father and I have taken over custody of raising this child, and we love this baby very much. We
Absolutely.
Live in San Diego, and we're sort of confused as to how we might be able to help this little child get through these problems. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got a couple of issues there. You know, we understand that this is their daughter that had the 4-year-old child, I think.
Yep.
That's what you said in the beginning, yes. Well, you know, you got an issue of your daughter, you know, and wherever that's going, you know, that's up to you.
Yep.
With the child that you've taken over, the most important thing ties in and sort of spins off what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
At 4 years of age, you're still in a very, very important developmental process, certainly up to the age at least of 6 or so.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure you get all the evaluations and all the tests, neuropsychological, et cetera, you know, scans, whatever it might be, to determine what all is going on with the child. Because if you don't know everything that's going on and you're treating a part of the problem, you're not going to get it done. So, you know, you need to make sure you do that. And then you can go back to that wonderful plan that I talked about. Then you can have a plan of what type of schooling, what type of extra services, whether it be speech and language or, you know, whatever it might be that the child might need, or OT or PT or whatever, depending on what the problem is. But start at that year of 4. You can't start, if you don't start now, you won't get started any sooner. So get started now. Get everything going for that child that you can, and you will see amazing things come from that. Because when you start at that age, you do things consistently. I offer to parents, please be consistent with your children. Consistency is very, very important, and kids want consistency, and they want those parameters and boundaries. So start with, if it's mild autism, start with the Autism Society. San Diego is a wonderful place. Find out what's available around you. There should be plenty of things out there. Find the right schools. Get into an early program and get it rolling now.
Great advice. And, you know, I think they can't really diagnose sometimes children
that early.
You know,
yeah,
because
that young.
Exactly. It's very difficult, you know, because it's hard to. Of course, they have little tests and stuff, but it's hard to diagnose the ADD and autism sometimes because...
Oh, yeah. When people say ADD, you know, first thing I do on that is sort of back off. Autism, you know, you got a lot of... I've got a son in my home. He's my son. He's a foster kid, but he's been with me for... He was 9 years old. He's 42 now, but he has a syndrome that's very rare. But, you know, it was very evident that, you know, he had all the classic childhood autism, which you can see it. At 2 years of age, I guess, is what some people say. And he had them all, you know, and he doesn't speak still. And You know, some of those things you'll
God
know,
bless
but the
them.
Reason you go for that testing and all is because a really good developmental pediatrician or someone, it will give them the inklings of the things that are going on and begin to guide you in the right direction for that plan that we talk about, and that gets you ahead of the game.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for your email, and what a wonderful answer.
Sarah, good luck.
You're a great guy, man. You and your wife are amazing. I mean, you're just, you know, you're not only helping people in your business, but you live it in your life as well, which is, you know, proof in the pudding right there, you know. So that's really awesome. You know, you talked about setting boundaries and setting limits with certain children, and, you know, it really is important. I think a lot of parents don't have the skills to really kind of know how to deal with children who have certain spectrum disorders, no matter what they are, learning disorders, chemical imbalances, depression, anxiety, bipolar, whatever they are. What are some of the most common misunderstandings that you think that parents might have about their children, and how can you sort of guide them in the right way of thinking to help them, go forward with getting help with these kids and get their heads on straight a little bit.
Right. Well, I talked a little bit about it before, Dr. Michelle. I think that, you know, the whole idea of people putting blinders on and wanting, we all want to say, well, our kids are great, our kids are going to go to Harvard, our kids are going to do this, our kids are going to do that. All of our kids aren't going to do that. The main thing is you have to become realistic as quick as you can.
Yep.
And if you think something's going on or you feel like something's going on, you have to really get in the middle of it with the right professionals like yourself and others that that know what you're doing. And try to come up with that plan. I keep throwing that plan out there, and it's so important because I think people are very planful about their money and everything.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people have a plan for their kids when they come in the world. Maybe to send them to college and all, but you really ought to have a plan when you got a kid that's got special needs of where you walk through that. And there's no manual that comes with them. They don't send them with a CD that you plug in and try to figure out what's going on.
Exactly.
But there are
exactly.
CDs and manuals out there you can read and learn about parenting them in places you can go for support and share with other people who have more experience with it. And I think it's very important that parents do that and collaborate. Do what we do in our alliance. Yeah. Join together with people.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think that these chemical imbalances and some of the things like autism, people don't totally understand. We all have our ideas about what we think it is. But, it's just growing so fast. It makes me wonder what it might be. But,
I don't either. I don't know what it might be. And maybe it's just that we're more aware of it these days. We used to, in the olden days.
Better diagnosed.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But
Exactly.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Thank you.
You know, parents just have to really sit down and think things through and get things moving. And too many parents wait too long before they'll ask for help or before they admit things. They don't want to admit things. Don't be ashamed of your child. If your child's got a problem, you know, help the child fix it. They need you to help fix it or it's not going to get fixed.
Boy, is that true. That is so true, you know, and it's about daily functioning. It comes down to that. It goes way beyond, I want my child to go to college and become this
That's
and that.
Right.
It's take your ego out of it, you know.
Exactly.
And
it's usually
just
our
love
ego.
That little, don't project your ego onto that little person.
Right, talking about love is a big piece of it.
That is a big piece of it. I think
someone who just loves them, you know, like more than anything else in the world.
Exactly, because, you know, Andy, when they get out into society, they're going to be facing a lot of judgment and rejection.
Absolutely.
And that'll only add more, you know, to their problems. You know, if they have a loving and supportive family.
Exactly. You know, parents can help educate. We've done it with our kids and everybody I know in the business. If you can educate your kid about what they're going to face, I think about Cardinal Cushing School, and I want to get the schools on here in a minute if I can. Cardinal Cushing School, which is up in Hanover, Mass. Cardinal Cushing, the famous Cardinal Cushing. You know, it's a great facility. They work with a lot of developmentally disabled people. You know, the spectrums and all, and they are just fabulous with people they work with parenting things that they do. They're forming a community. They They join their community with older individuals. They're looking at building housing now. They have a complete complex there, a complete almost community within a community of people that can mingle together and help one another and do things. That's fabulous.
I don't care what anybody says.
That's the way life ought to be.
That's right.
That's the way life ought to be. So maybe I could mention these programs real quick. Could I?
Sure. We got about 30 seconds left, so we'll...
I can read fast.
Okay,
we got Alpine Academy, who serves girls out in Utah, Erta, Utah, Service Proof. Beckett House at Norwalk in Maine works with sexually problemed young people. Building Bridges in Montana, which is a small residential treatment program with kids that have substance abuse problems. Cardinal Cushing, I just mentioned. Chamberlain International School serves a number of different people. They also have a school in Denmark as well. Chamberlain does. They just affiliate with school. Compass Rose Academy in Indiana, fabulous, part of White's Residential group, 12-bed girls program. Dragonfly Transitions in Oregon, that's a transitional program for young adults, fabulous program. Jermaine Lawrence, Massachusetts, mentioned about working with the girls who have been sexually exploited. Grove School in Connecticut, an old, long-term, great facility, works with a myriad of different problems. Lakeview School in New Hampshire, that's the... Neuro Rehab Center, Latham Centers in Massachusetts with the Prader-Willi, Mountain Valley Treatment Center specializes in anxiety disorders, New Lifestyles in Virginia, emerging adults who are very, very involved, Access 1 and Access 2, Ohana House in Oregon, co-ed serves the most difficult young people in the country. Restart in Washington State is the Internet Addiction Group, Summit Preparatory School in Montana. Is a fabulous preparatory school for people with special needs, built in a wilderness component to it.
Yeah.
And Deco in New Hampshire and Boston, who is very well known, long-term, 75, 80 more years old. Fabulous,
great.
Unbelievable work with the Boston schools, as well as having a residential program up in New Hampshire.
Wow.
That was quick.
Well, that was very quick, Andy. You did good.
For a guy from the South, I read really fast.
There you go.
It's good that a guy from the South can read, so that's good.
There you go. By the way, in case you just tuned in, you're, of course, on Answers for the Family. This is Dr. Michelle, your host for On the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11 here on LA Talk Radio. I'm filling in for Alan Cardoza, who is in the World Association of Detectives Conference, and he's also trying to find a runaway child in trouble right now. And, of course, co-host Dr. Melody Fox is working today, so I have the honor of filling in today. And the special guest here is Andy Anderson, MRA, well-known, very well-respected professional in the therapeutic schools and programming industry. I mean, we're talking over 38 years, almost 40 years, and we've got to get on out of here. It's about that time, Andy, but... thanks a million for being here. It's just lovely. It's my pleasure to interview you.
Please let me tell you what a wonderful job you did as the host. They were very fortunate.
Oh, thank you. Well,
thank you very much. And I hope you get a chance to meet you sometime soon.
I would love that. And, of course, this show can be downloaded starting later tomorrow afternoon. If you missed any part of this, folks, you'd like to do rerun, download, or replay, anything like that, we'll be up and running. And we'll have all the information so you can contact Andy. Andy, thanks a million.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye now. Thanks for listening, folks. Answers for the Family. Alan and Dr. Melody will be back next week.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.